Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life-centered style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight.
Okay, well, welcome everyone to the Transformation Cafe. I'm one of the regular diners here, which is Robin Masevich, and we just thank you for scooting up your chair and digging into some different conversational things that we can have going on tonight. And as we have a couple of our regulars here decided to come and show up at the cafe, Mr. Jamie's in the house. Hey, Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
Most excellent. This is Mr. Jamie calling from Seattle, Washington.
All right. Beautiful Seattle, Washington. We were talking a little bit before we got on. Tell us how beautiful it was there. And Miss Gloria is in the house from San Diego. Hey, Miss Gloria, how are you tonight?
Hello. I am doing great tonight. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, no problem. So we were chatting a little bit before the show came on, and the topic for tonight is being in the present moment. And, you know, we could play with that pretty much the whole conversation about being in the moment. But that power of now. Jamie, have you ever read any of Eckhart Tolle's book, The Power of Now?
That would be no.
Okay.
Miss
Gloria?
That sounds interesting, though.
Yes. It's very interesting. Miss Gloria, have you ever read any of Mr. Eckhart's The Power of Now?
I have not. And I've had a friend who has shared it in great detail with me to the point where I don't think I need to read it.
Well, aren't you a lucky one?
I am. It was like a blow-by-blow and a discussion and a coffee clutch and brainstorming all in the same time.
Well, you know what? And gosh, I'm trying to think of how long ago that came out. And I have the opportunity to actually listen to it on CD, I think back in 2004, that's how long ago, and that was, so it was CD over that way, so I think it came out in 2002, I don't know, that sounds about right, but it's a very interesting to look at everything from just that present moment perspective, and looking at yourself from a level of just this constantly new levels of awareness. It's very, very cool. Very, very cool. It's kind of hard to wrap your mind around when you're not really in the place of meditation and being in this place of really seeing how everything around you is reflections of yourself. So that's a very interesting perspective to be able to do some stuff. So, but we were playing with the idea of, you know, it's, you know, being in the moment and, you know, how's that working for you? So that's a good thing. So what are your thoughts about being in the now, Miss Gloria?
Well, you think about how many people are so used to multitasking, and, you know, if you were to ask the average person about being in the now, they would say, I'm always present. But yet, mm-hmm. when you really break it down and you start asking them questions and you talk about their attention spans and, you know, how long they can actually focus on something, that and paying attention, really paying attention to their focus and their ability to be currently presently engaged for long periods of time. And it's almost impossible for people to see that they're not really engaged, because our universe has sped up so much, and business and society and with technology. You know, at one point I was thinking about how we are able to hear people's thoughts, you know, basically read people's minds if we're open to hearing it. And there's a lot of chaos. It's like lots of white noise, and it's almost like people changing channels constantly, because people's ability to focus and to think is so scattered. And with technology, it's making it so fast now that it's changing our attention span, and it's also making it's so that we are almost incapable, with the loss of focus, in being able to become more connected on a mental level, it's taking us out of the ability to telepathically communicate because we're not focused.
I heard that said that when for every year that you're alive, your attention span increases a second.
Yeah, I don't believe it. Mine's the other way.
Yeah. Say it again.
I said I don't believe it. Mine's the other way.
Oh, I don't think so. Yeah, that would mean like you're not even being able to have this conversation because your attention span just wasn't focusing on it. So there you go. I don't believe that. No, I don't believe that. So what do you think about that, Jamie?
Well, what I really love is when you get up and I go, I got to go do this and get this over here, and you get up and you walk over there and you go, what was I doing? And then you have to walk back a little bit, and then you'll remember, oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Isn't it interesting how when you're backing up, it's almost like on a record you can back up a record and be able to have the same groove go over again, and you catch up with yourself. It's kind of fascinating that you could do that.
Sometimes you get easily distracted, and that's not hard to do nowadays, too.
You know, you put something down, you walk down the hallway and go, what did I do? And you walk back down the hallway and you're like, oh, yeah, it was that. You know what I mean? It's interesting how you're – and, well, I remember listening because I was having a chronic problem of losing my keys. And I wound up getting I was just losing lots of stuff. And so I got this program that basically the guy said, for the keys, he said, look at yourself putting down your keys like on a table or something, and it's almost like you take a snapshot on your mind of what you're doing with it. And you tell yourself, I'm putting my keys here, and you take a picture. And then now you'll always remember. And
Simple as when you're locking the door, like, did I lock the door?
Right, I'm locking the door.
I got my keys
out,
and then I locked the door.
Little mental notes to yourself that I did this and I did this and I did that, you know. And you get a weird, you know, well, how many, automatic coffee makers and irons and all these other things that do have automatic shutoffs nowadays.
Right.
Because so many people can't remember that they, did I shut that off?
Well, and if you think about it, what he was basically telling you to do was to stop in that moment and to be present in it.
Yeah, appreciate the iron, appreciate the coffee maker, appreciate the keys of whatever you're doing. You're actually you're being very present with whatever you're doing. It's like you're saying, that level of multitasking. I can remember when I was a young mom, here I had a baby, and I'm doing laundry, and I'm cooking dinner, and, I'm taking a phone call, and I must have had five things going on simultaneously, different things that I had started, and they were, doing their thing. So, I thought, wow, look at me. I can do five things at the same time. And after a while, I was just like, no, stop myself. And, nowadays, it's like you're saying, everything's speeding up to the point where it's really almost a challenge to just be doing one thing. And allowing yourself to be in that one thing.
Well, it's interesting because when you think about the concept of meditation and the terminologies and things that have been used, when you talk about being present in the moment and really being engaged with what you're doing, if you have done any kind of reading on meditation, there's a phrase that's called zazen, and that's when you're completely immersed in what you're doing to the point where you're thinking of nothing else as well as not thinking about what you're doing. You're completely present in that moment of experience with nothing else coming into your mind.
And I like the concept for some of the things that I've read about meditation, it's the perspective of I'm witnessing myself in what I'm doing. It's like you there's another level of your awareness that expands to where you know that you're a part of everything on just a different level. Instead of being, being in the movie, you're watching the movie and it's your life kind of a thing, which I think is really cool. And it really helps you to just get that wider perspective. And almost like a deeper perspective on having something like that happening. Over and over again lately, I've noticed that that's one of the things that pretty much for wellness, that meditation is just such an important element that really can help people to de-stress their lives and just be in this place where they can really embrace themselves on just a different level. So it's very, very cool.
Very true.
Yeah. We have a caller. Hey, caller 8384. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, I'm fine. I heard what you were saying.
Can we have your name?
Oh, Susan from California.
Hi, Susan.
Hi. Unfortunately, I experienced meditation not such a good way because I lost the spiritual trust in that from a person that was false, but I don't judge everyone for meditation. I mean, you can have meditation with just walking, you know, walking meditation or just being around nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just unfortunately was with a person who thought he was a guru and I kind of believed him, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But what I wanted to share with you is that when I get into the flow, in other words, I have such high energy. Some people don't care for this, but I can have such high energy where I am so filled with it that I am floating. I mean, my feet
mm-hmm.
don't even touch the ground. I've been to a spiritual place like this. I've been to, you know, like a charity event, and I couldn't even eat or drink or, you know, I was just so, I didn't even realize it was. You're so full of this energy, you don't even want to eat. You're just. Have you ever been to that place?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh
mm-hmm.
my goodness, it's really hard because sometimes you're like this, and I forget to eat or drink.
You know, my phases of being there. I've actually been up for almost 3 to 4 days straight.
3 to 4 days.
Yes.
I did for 2 days, and I didn't realize I was in that place. And I was in a spiritual center, and I just felt the energy. And I kept on asking people, do you feel something around you? And they said they didn't. It was just me. The only thing is, did you get dehydrated when you get like this?
I would say that my adrenals are more impacted. There's a lot of stress on my adrenals. Mm-hmm. And so I've also noticed that there's a stress on the pituitary. And it's not so much about dehydration because I'm really focused on being up and doing, and I just keep going. And I've noticed that I just drink automatically while I'm busy doing.
Oh, you do drink. Okay. I can forget to drink and eat. Yes. And
yeah,
when I was
eat.
With that person, I got very thin, and he was have you ever heard of a spiritual vampire or a psychic vampire?
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I was with him over a year, and I was being a vegetarian, and I was not eating properly, and I didn't even realize it. The thing is, also, we were involved in some marijuana, wine, drinking, you know, and that one night when I did come to him, I didn't know this too just recently, that he must have slipped something into what I was taking because it lasted for 2 days. So the thing is that he gave me fear and anxiety and abandonment so he could take it away. He wanted me to experience it. He called that awakening.
Yeah.
So the thing is that you have to realize sometimes you get into these spiritual people, they may be good in some respect, but sometimes they feel that they need to teach people this way to let go of your mask and your clothing and everything and find Tantra. And I just went through. I was reaching out for him for help to learn meditation so my son wouldn't take medicine. But, again, I didn't realize about how a person can hypnotize you on the telephone. I mean, there's a lot involved. And when you do meditation, you learn to quiet your mind, that someone could come inside it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that has been a major sticking point for me is that, you know, there are so many people in their innocence looking for spiritual awareness and clarity, and in their innocence there are those individuals who have agendas that are not ethical. And if you have never known about the industry and you get exposed to the wrong people and you have bad experiences, it really leaves a bad taste in your mouth in the whole process, even though you know that there are ethical people out there that would never do you harm.
Right.
And that would support you. And
I thought he was an indigo child. I gave him too much information about my ex-husband. He was a sociopath. And so I reached out to him. And so in the end, he took all that information and used it against me. But it was just, I was so innocent in the form of, you know, I didn't know that someone could take your energy, all of these things. And he was a Reiki master. So how can I explain this, that he did Kukulini? I was everything, I was told just recently that he tried everything mind controlling there could be, Scientology. And he gets this from abused women, that are person, that women, and he's a songwriter. And so the thing is that he's putting in lessons for children, and I felt it in my head. I mean, and I fell for his music. And I didn't even understand how you can change. Your personality could change with a being like this. That it's, do you understand? Have you been through something like this? Your personality totally change?
I have met people that have taken advantage of other people, and I've met the people, friends, that have been taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've heard about it on many different levels. And I feel very saddened by that, you know, and there are many aspects to look at. Have you found somebody that you can work with that has restored your understanding and your faith within the
Well, I'm still working on trust factor because of this.
Right.
And this, when someone says detachment, he really was getting me being attached to him. And
there are a number of books out there that talk about spiritual protection, and you may want to go and just invest in one, you know, be under $20, and just have a read. Find one that resonates with you and read it and learn about it, because then you'll feel more in control and you'll be more aware.
See, this is what I didn't have.
Right.
I believe so much into what he had to tell me. And he told me that if I learn from him, I can teach my son and help him, cure him. And, you know, I look back and going, oh, how naive was I? My children saw right away. My daughter saw I was a pedophile. My son broke his CDs. But I saw in him the music. I saw in him the words for children. That was so amazing. I thought he would help children with meditation. I believe so much. But he wasn't true to what he was. And I did not have awareness. I didn't believe in my intuition, and now that I do, I can see the falseness in people, in their voice, in their mask. And so this is something I had to go through to learn about. I didn't know that I had visual perception and all these things that I, these gifts that I have, channeling. And he knew, he could tell that he picked up someone that had some things, because he tried to get to have me dream about certain things, and I did make some things happen for him. But the thing was that the whole time I kind of felt that he was this indigo child and I failed him. So it's just that you have to be aware of people around you that are false. And even with that spiritual place, when I went to the Agape, I met Michael Beckwith, inside people were spiritual, but yet on the outside, and there were other people that are drawn to people that have this need to be, learn the knowledge, that take advantage of others, because I ran into a few of those too. So I guess the thing is to believe in your inner self and not to the outer voice.
Yeah, and that's where, when you talk about meditation and being present, that helps actually bring you to that place where you have clearer vision. And you can hear your heart more. And you can be present and validate, give validity and acknowledge the inner red flags or the inner acknowledgments that you know on a much higher level. So that's where being present really helps.
I see. And so he told me so many falsehoods about Buddhism, about Tantra, about this is the way to reach it. I mean, you know, it was like, wow.
You know, I think I would have taken the majority of everything he's got and thrown it out with the bathwater. Okay.
Keep in mind as you go on this journey that you're going on, that everybody has a path up to the top of the mountain.
Uh-huh.
Everybody's path is different.
Yes.
Everybody's path presents them with different things that they feel that they need. And I use that word very loosely with big quotation marks.
Mm-hmm.
Because our perception is what creates our need. And
oh,
our
yes.
Perception
I thought he had the answers, and I couldn't believe inside myself. So, in other words, I took everything. And my body did not respond right. I was like not there. You know, my mind and my body separate. I learned projection. All of these things. I was floating a lot of times. I just didn't know where I was when I was with him. But it was my body was telling me, look, there's something wrong here. How, you know, there's not, it doesn't seem right. But yet my mind was saying, oh, he has to be the one with the knowledge. I mean, you know, it's, he was deprogramming me. And so it was very interesting, the whole thing. Now I can see it, and I can see false people around me. And this new person in my life, I feel he's not like this person. But the part of the trust, it's the last thing that you. It's like your protection. You never want to be controlled by someone again.
Well, and you always need to be discerning, and you know you never want to give up complete trust to anyone.
Yeah, I did.
Because, you know, your safety is what's important. And when you put yourself as number one,
mm-hmm.
then you can continue to become more and more who you are and to be that healthy, helping person that you want to contribute to the world.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's what's happened this year. And this other person came into my life. So, in other words, the trust factor is like never want to be in that situation again and not to believe what people say. The words show me what you mean, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing. And I heard from other people when you lose your spiritual trust from someone and it's like you're innocent. And he never saw me as a person anyway. And when he has a following. But the thing is, when this happens, it takes a while to recover from it. It's been a year.
Have you thought to connect with your there's a soul family that every person has, and it's like a spiritual family, and you can consider them almost like a board of directors. They are your helpers, your guides. They are the people, the soul individuals that you are in a contract with, that while they may be in the spiritual realm and you are here in the physical realm,
mm-hmm.
there is a contract for them to support and assist you. And, you know, anytime you talk to them and ask them for things, and you say, you know, you always add in for the highest and best good,
uh-huh.
because that allows them to be able to support you and all of those people that are within the circle of your dynamics.
I see. To reach out for the help.
You have to ask angels because we have free will.
Uh-huh.
And they do not, but they are here to help us.
Interesting. So, I never grew up asking, learning to ask for things. It was always
exactly.
given. Uh-huh.
And so they ask them for things. Ask them for clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them for wisdom. You know, there's so many things that they can do from that side, and they're waiting for us to ask them.
You know, I'm going to do that tomorrow when I walk along the trees and the nature. I did learn about Buddhism, and this leaf has all the meaning to me. But the thing is, what I realize now is that he taught me things that he wanted me to learn, and he didn't teach the whole lesson. You understand what that? Yes? Yeah. Yeah. So, but
and it could be he didn't know the whole lesson either. It could be that he had a very shortened version, and that what he had utilized to support his growth is what he believes to be the complete picture, because that's all he needed.
Uh-huh.
So forgive him for not knowing. Forgive
yeah.
him for misleading and not keeping the picture open.
Uh-huh.
And allow yourself to move forward, because while you may lose trust in an individual and a human being, you can always trust those that are there to help you on the other side. And you always ask for those that are there for your best good. And
thank
they're in
the
world.
Yeah. And it's always good to just be grateful for the lessons that he did teach you about going back to yourself and not going to someone else for your answers. Because that's the largest lesson you can possibly have.
That's what I learned on myself this year,
mm-hmm.
because I went through
mm-hmm.
dehydration. I had to even tell the doctors this. No, he wanted mm-hmm. me. I couldn't question him. I asked him one question. He says, no, I am the teacher, you are the student, and you must not question me. This is what Buddhism is all about and all the meditation is all about. He is the teacher, and I'm not supposed to question anything that he does. And this is the way you reach. You
the
reach
student learns by asking.
Yeah, exactly. I would have said, okay, see you, bye-bye.
Yeah, well, see,
okay.
Well, you see, I must tell you, when you live with a man who was a sociopath and you were already went through mind controlling and all of that, if you ever know about that, gaslighting, I went through that. I didn't even know I was married to one, but and they're both scorpions. If you are one, I don't want to criticize you if you are a scorpion, but that was my biggest fear. And so he says, no, I'm a spiritual person. I only have the best good for you. And, you know, I just was so, well, I see now how it worked out. But, you know, you have to believe in your instincts. My first instincts when I said to him was, you could be the best for me and the worst for me. And he laughed.
That's right.
He laughed.
And that's true. That's a true statement, too.
Yeah. And every time in my life, my instinct said to me a warning. I never listened. I didn't know what it was, but now I do. So
now you can help other people to hear.
Yes, and I've shared this story to help others, and I told them about this thing, and they said, yeah, they know about it. It's just very hard to explain it unless you've been through it with somebody because you don't know it's happening. It's just very – you don't know it's happening to you.
You know, and there's also that division, too, because I'm not saying that he didn't know, but there are those individuals on this planet that because they are bereft of the light and the love that people can exude, they are attracted to it, and they are not aware that they are taking the energy of others. And that comes from a place of innocence. So, again, I'm not saying that he's that way, but I'm also saying that other people that you may encounter may have this on an unconscious level. And so being able to protect yourself energetically is really important because it's about just making sure that your energy is safe and that you can put it out there when you want to. It's like having that balloon where the air can go out but it can't come in through the membrane.
Have you ever felt where, I was so drained that he had to put it back into me. I mean, that was like, whoa, before I could leave. And it was like, someone told me it's like someone feeding off of you. And he would be coming out afterwards being so energetic and, you know, and I would be like drained.
Right.
And, yeah.
There's a way. Now, see, with him being trained in Reiki, when you connect to Source, you have limitless energy. You don't need energy from anyone else. And even if you're not a Reiki master, there are ways that I teach people that you can be completely and constantly connected to Source. I have so much energy, I only need maybe 4 hours of sleep, 5 hours, 6 hours every 2 days.
Interesting. So maybe he was false when he told me he was a master in Reiki.
It's also about his comprehension and understanding and how he learned what that means.
Yeah, and how he was taught. Yeah.
You know what he did. He could take my energy, and I'll share it with you. He started with the chakras, and I felt orgasms over any place he touched me. But yet, when he entered, I felt zero, nothing. And when I touched him, I felt nothing was there, nothing. I felt zero. In fact, I thought he was gay. I mean, when I first touched him. But, I mean, hug or anything. And so he had that power to touch any part and his voice to make me feel this way. Have you ever heard of that? There's
so many different things that are involved in that process that you're talking about. But
really?
It's much too long of a conversation for what we're doing, especially since it looks like there's only a minute left.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I was talking about
the
conversation. I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have shared that.
No, that's okay. That's okay. So I'm going to go ahead and I've got your number, and I'm going to go ahead and if that's okay with you, I'll go ahead and give it to Gloria, see if you guys want to continue the conversation.
Okay.
You can have
sure.
you guys take care
I
of that.
I just,
because we definitely
want to
have it
before.
When you can get some protection. It's always, you know, the bottom line on all this stuff is one of the things that's wonderful about meditation and being in the present moment is
uh-huh.
you're very constant with your own energy and who you mm-hmm. are as a person and what you're willing to give out and what you're willing to take in, and it comes from just a different level of consciousness. So
okay.
we thank
I have
you
to
for
learn
being
that.
On the
thank
show.
You so much for letting
yeah.
me share with you.
Yeah.
I guess the universe just brought me to open up. So
well, and that's wonderful. That's wonderful. So we'll continue this off the air, but we want to thank all of our listeners, and we'll see you next time at the cafe.
Take care.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again, travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.